August 28, 2021, SWAT for Pedro Show.
the Gulf states, which are being battered by storms. Joe has seen and talked with the farmers in Iowa, whose entire crops have been destroyed because of floods. And so Joe believes, again, in science. I'll tell you something, Susan. I served when I first got to the Senate on the committee that's responsible for the environment. You know, this administration took the word science off the website. And then took the phrase climate change off the website. We have seen a pattern with this administration, which is they don't believe in science.
Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Last one of August. Started with Every Time We Say Goodbye. John Coltrane Live, November 20, 1961. Then Jamie Branch, The World Is On Fire, You Gotta Vote, which is not just a good title, but a good credo. I like that. And because of those Estonian software engineers at a Skype invention, I got with me Jamie Branch. Welcome aboard.
What's up, Bot? How you doing?
Yeah, and where are you talking to me from, Brooklyn?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York, yep.
Okay. I love this music you sent me, you know, and so I want to learn about your journey. Can you please bring your earliest musical memory?
I have this memory that I think is a double memory of what may have been and what I saw in a photograph, and I'll explain that in a second. Like, I remember listening to my older brother play the piano. He's like 10 years older than me. I just remember being like, that's when I feel like I came online with music. And for some reason in my memory, I'm wearing a bunny suit.
Whoa.
But I think that's because there's a photograph of me in a bunny suit at a piano that I have now added to my...
So to this pad you grew up in, they had a piano because your brother was playing it.
Yep, a baby grand.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever jump on it?
I did, like right away.
And did you go through the lessons thing?
Yeah, I learned by ear at first, and then when I was about six, I started taking, lessons.
Jay, how was the experience for you?
It was like everything for me. I was all about it.
Yeah, because I've had guests on the show. It almost made me want to quit music. Some horrible experiences.
That's later on, maybe. When I was, like, real little.
Yeah. Well, I think it might have something to do with a teacher, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some people, absolutely,
maybe it's the wrong gig. It should be.
Yeah, there needs to be a kindness to it, you know?
Right. How do you motivate? Yeah, the beating. My pop learned in the Navy. The beatings will continue till morale improves or
something.
Yeah. Right. Okay. What about first record you bought with your own money?
It was Nirvana, Nevermind, and Green Day, Dookie in the same day.
Whoa, okay. Guitar music. And what about
guitar music, big time.
Right, well, music's music.
Yeah.
What about, in fact, how many lead guitar solos sound like trumpet solos?
Yeah.
But what about the first gig you went and saw, Jane?
The first big gig I went and saw was Stone Temple Pilots with Local H.
Okay.
It was like, this guy's like little concerts here and there.
Okay. And let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
We didn't have a marching band in my school, and I feel like that was probably a lucky thing for me. a lot of my homies that had marching band, it was like required that they do it. And that's the sort of shit I think that really kills, burns people out on music, or like kills the spirit. So no, I wasn't in the, but I was in concert band, and then later on I was in orchestra and jazz band too, you know.
I'm going to guess it was a trumpet.
It was a trumpet from the start, yep.
So now you said, you know, the first thing that, you know, the gateway drug to music was your brother's piano playing, but what made you want to get on the trumpet?
So I'm like 9 years old, and we had just moved from Long Island to the burbs of Chicago, and it was the year I had it in my head I was going to play upright bass. I actually wanted to be a bass player. But the school I moved to didn't have an orchestra. It was too small for that. So like it was saxophone or trumpet. And I like spilled my dad's red wine all over the saxophone sheet, and I chose the trumpet.
life is trippy that way.
Right.
And I heard that trumpet in the marching band is kind of hard anyway with a smaller mouthpiece.
But it's strenuous.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of, and it builds your chops. I mean, in that way, it's real good. But yeah, it's
I heard like the bone or baritone horn or stuff, but with a bigger mouthpiece, a little easier. But you know,
The embouchures, the muscles, they're so, you know, there's like real finite muscles. So over time, whatever you know is easier. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It would be way easier for me to play trumpet in a marching band than trombone. Because I don't know how to really play trombone.
Okay. So bass clef. You would have been in bass clef territory. But when I'm thinking difficult, I think of those big fucking wool suits they had to wear. Shit. Summertime. Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, here at Pedro High, where I went to school, we were called the Pirates, and I could just imagine dressed up in these corny-ass suits. But, yeah, embouchure and muscles. And, yeah, stuff's got to be protected. And I read about Jackie McLean get punched by Mr. Mingus and hurting his embouchure. But he ended up playing with him a couple months later. The power of junk, you know. Anyway,
also, you don't really say no to Mingus necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the story goes, supposedly, he's doing a solo, and Charlie Mingus is, you know, he's playing the bass, but he's talking to some people at a table over his solo, so that's what supposedly how the bledge got going. But yeah, yeah, you don't say no to Mr. Mingus. what about after school, not graduate, but in the afternoon, did you do the basement band, garage band, bedroom band thing?
Yeah, big time. I was in lots of ska bands in high school.
Ah, yeah, because 90s is the time, finally, right?
That's right.
Yeah, all the kids in the brass and reeds can now be in rock and roll bands because of the ska.
That's right. We did that traditional suburban third wave ska, you know?
You know what, though? When I was a teenager, it was 70s, okay? There was a lady on trumpet in Sly's band. Cindy,
hell
right?
Yeah.
We just lost her.
I believe Cynthia Robinson.
Cynthia, right.
Yeah, she's a bad girl.
Yeah.
Almost said a bad boy.
Well, you know, Sly had all kinds of stuff in his band, though. And,
Magician.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, all kinds of. Larry Graham, big influence on me with the bass guitar. So, now these ska bands, you joined them. They weren't your ska bands, were they?
This older kid, like, saw me carrying my trumpet home from school and was like, can you play that? Like, I can.
Okay.
And he made me kind of audition on the spot, and so then I was in this band called Danny and the Ketchups.
Okay. Wow, there was a ska band out here called Mustard Plug.
Oh, I know.
That would have made a good double bill, huh?
Oh, they were like our heroes.
Oh, you knew about them. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And Skink and Pickle. I mean,
and
all
Skink
the time.
Skink and Pickle. Right. You know, I did a bunch of Warp Tours. A lot of the Warp Tours was during that time. And
I went to a lot of those Warp Tours, yeah.
And there was another fad, too. I shouldn't say that.
That's fair. I think.
But like Swing. Remember Swing?
Swing came right after that.
Right.
Stereotop and Daddy.
Got this guy. Right. I met one of those guys a little later. He was dressed up New York Dolls. I said, well, what's this about? What happened to your, he said, Mike, when Gap makes the ad, it's over.
It's true. I guess Kanye better watch out.
So, how long were you, who in the Ketchups?
Danny.
Danny and the Cow. How long were you with Danny?
We were together until, so I was the youngest, and so we were together like a good 2 years, and then kids started turning 18, yeah, and they could play clubs that I couldn't play.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was kind of like, you know, it just kind of ended. But a good two plus years, you know.
And did you ever get to tour with them?
I didn't tour with that band, but then the next, like, I had some other stuff in there, but the next kind of bigger one that I was in was called The Indecisives. Only bigger in that we actually were organized enough to play out regularly, you know. It was called The Indecisives, and I toured with them quite a bit.
Whoa, okay. Did you end up writing stuff?
In The Indecisives, I mostly played horn parts, but then the next incarnation was called Tusker, and I definitely wrote music for Tusker.
Yeah, because, you know, in your bio, you put composer first. I like that, man.
Oh, yeah? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's composer, trumpet, and now singer. I guess that's a recent thing that you brought into your music trip. But look, I want to play Lost Boys Underwater.
All right, word.
Okay.
We will also re-enter the climate agreement with Thai. Carried out over the course of the next 4 years on what is an existential threat to us as human beings. Joe is about saying we're going to invest out in renewable energy.
This is going to be good.
Say that the United States of America not only recognizes our role in creating this problem, we embrace our responsibility to do something about it. Over the last 7 years, we've made ambitious investments in clean energy and ambitious reductions in our carbon emissions. We've multiplied wind power threefold, solar power more than 20-fold, helping create parts of America where these clean power sources are finally cheaper than dirtier conventional power. We've invested in energy efficiency in every way imaginable. We said no to infrastructure that would pull high carbon fossil fuels from the ground. And we said yes to the first ever set of national standards limiting the amount of carbon pollution our power plants can release into the sky. The advances we've made have helped drive our economic output to all-time highs and drive our carbon pollution to its lowest levels in nearly two decades. Work in concert with one another. And that should give us hope. One of the enemies that we'll be fighting at this conference is cynicism. The notion we can't do anything about climate change. Our progress should give us hope during these 2 weeks. Hope that is rooted in collective action. Emissions targets that I set 6 years ago in Copenhagen. We will reduce our carbon emissions in the range of 17% below 2005 levels by 2020.
I announce the withdrawal of the United States from the horrible, costly, one-sided Paris Climate Accord.
We can show the world what is possible when we come together, united in common effort and by a common purpose. And let there be no doubt, the next generation is watching what we do.
Climate change. Global warming is the next existential threat to humanity. We have a moral obligation to deal with it. And we're told by all the leading scientists in the world, we don't have much time. We're going to pass the point of no return within the next 8 to 10 years. 4 more years of this man eliminating all the regulations that were put in by us to clean up the climate, to clean up, to limit the limit of emissions, will put us in a position where we're going to be in real trouble.
For I believe, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that there is such a thing as being too late. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that there is such a thing as being too late. And when it comes to climate change, that hour is almost upon us. Behind the air that our young people will breathe and the food that they will eat and the water that they will drink and the hopes and dreams that sustain their lives, that we won't be too late for them. And my fellow leaders, accepting this challenge will not reward us with moments of victory that are clear or quick. Our progress will be measured differently in the suffering that is averted.
Swap for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with Jamie Branch. Lost Boys Underwater. Not a good sitch. Not a good sitch. Mold Omen from Baltimore after that with Fang Circles. Bad Blood August out of Germany with Interlude Supernatural. Sinky the Sailor from Samuel Lockward out of Iowa City. Totala from the Italian part of Switzerland. Metti le dita nella presa. Saucer Ride with Hazel from Bombas Prendon, the D.C. area. And then June of 87, part 2 of 2 from Ray Shin. Finally, Jamie Brandt's Fly or Die. Something live. Nuevo, Rockero, Estéreo. Yeah. So, how long Tusker... What are you saying? It's the same band. Would they like change up members or change up genre or what?
Yeah, exactly. It was like it was a smaller version. It was like a 6-piece version of a 10-piece band.
Okay. And it was called.
And it was we're a little older. We're a little darker. You know.
Yeah. Right. And Tusker. So how long are you with Tusker? And you touring stuff with these people?
Yeah, that went to about 2006 or so. Another that one lasted a few years, I think.
And you said you started writing your own parts.
I was writing parts, and in fact, I started writing songs.
Right.
That other people learn too.
Yeah, can you remember the first song you wrote?
I can remember. I wrote two: one when I was 6, one when I was 7.
Oh wow!
I can't remember the name of the first one.
Okay.
But the name of the second one was "The Sky Ends in My Dreams,"
I wrote only one song as a teenager. I can remember "Mr. Bass King Outer Space," and it's terrible. I can't remember the music, but I think the point of the lyrics was doing a bass solo that blew the rest of the band off. Yeah, I had some issues hierarchy. Well, bass. It was a lot different in the older days. A lot more respect for bass players and drummers these days, which I like. I like everybody. Everybody's got their part. Hierarchy in music is stupid. Taking
That's
turns at roles, okay, but no hierarchy. Yeah. So, were you asked to bring in songs?
No, I was just... You know, I had songs, so I brought them in.
And then you, like, here they are. What do you think?
And then we worked it out. You know, like, I would have horn parts and maybe keyboard parts, because I sometimes doubled on that, and then we would kind of write together, you know?
Okay.
You know.
Well, you know, when it was like this, Lost Boys, Jamie Branch, that's like solo, right?
That's fully solo, yeah.
But that doesn't happen until a lot later, right?
Yeah, that's recent. That's this past year. That was right around the 2020 election. That was for the 2020 election. That
oh, wow.
Blew with that suite of pieces with the Gotta Vote and that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So with Tusker, how long did that go?
It went until about 2006 till I graduated college in 2005. And then it lasted for a bit longer. I was dating a guitar player the whole time, and we broke up, and then it was kind of...
That always messes with the dynamics of the band, right?
It's okay, because it pushed me, like, full-on into free jazz, which is where I needed to be headed anyway, you know?
Oh, okay. And you're talking about higher education after high school. Do you take music, you know, to the university level and stuff?
I went out to Boston to New England Conservatory is the name, and really fucking practiced a lot.
Whoa, okay. So good experience.
Yeah, good experience overall. I think academics and music, especially jazz education and music, is really flawed. And I was lucky to be around a lot of good people.
What's, in your opinion, flaws?
Well, for one, you have the race thing. You have a lot these white men teaching black music with hardly any, teachings about the history and the reverence, or just not reverence, that's the wrong word, but the respect of the tradition and the racial component of it, especially now, but especially at the beginning, too, because, I mean, jazz was, like, a maligned word.
Sure.
You know, and now it's like getting codified into the academic institutions, and it's becoming like anything else. You can get a whole bunch of money from some rich white parents to put, you know, to give a degree to, and then you spit out a bunch of these robot type musicians, and you know,
right,
it's
right.
Not a good system. People
right,
gotta
the
live
big
life.
Joke. I remember this guy telling me the big joke. The Thelonious Monk would have never won the Thelonious Monk contest.
Not in a million years. No. They wouldn't have let him in the building, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Humans are like this, right? They'll go and put it in the glass box, and so it can't be touched. And actually not, like you say, have no context. It's just some kind of...
Right.
Yeah, a thing you wear on your shirt sleeve. Yeah.
Right.
Kind of weird. So I didn't mean to get into a negative thing there, but you got what you could out of it. And you met people, right? You made good connects.
I met great people, other musicians that were there, and also teachers. I had really amazing private teachers there. So it was a good thing.
Yeah, okay. And what do you do after that? Free jazz, right?
Yeah, I went back to Chicago. I had taken some time off during college because I had thought maybe I didn't want to finish it, and was in Chicago. And then when I finished, I went back, I finished, and I came home back to Chicago. And I was there for like a long time after, like another almost 8 years or so.
When you were in Chicago, I mean, he's living out here now, but Jeff Parker, did you ever know him?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The tortoise, and that's kind of a jazz thing. Or
instrumental
music.
The guys in Tortoise are good friends. Many of them are very good friends. And
a lot of them are in California now.
Yeah, Johnny is there and Jeff is there. And
yeah.
I'm not sure where McIntyre is, but
he
might
was,
be around there too.
I think he went up to Portland, Oregon.
That's right. But, you know, Jeff had a gig with my bass player and Fly or Die, Jason and Jimmy, and over at Rodin, which was like a restaurant in Wicker Park, Chicago, on Tuesdays. They had a gig every Tuesday with this amazing visual artist, Selena Trepp, who was married to Dan, or she's partners with Dan Bitney of Tortoise also. And so it was, the whole crew was really around and like very much involved in the free jazz scene as well.
Yeah.
And Johnny played those gigs a lot too when Nori couldn't.
I got to do a, Sun Ra song with him in Bucky.
Oh, hell yeah.
Bucky Pope out of Madison, yeah. Which is where Clyde Stubblefield ended up his last 20, 30 years. He was playing a regular gig, like a Monday gig or something. Incredible drummer, man. So, okay. From Chicago, is that when you head to Brooklyn, New York?
Pretty much. I made a detour in Baltimore
for a couple
of years.
Well, they got some exciting experimental people. Like I played some Mold Omen. They're from Baltimore. And there's a cat named Door, right? With Network Glass. God, he makes some trippy ass music.
And, I'm not hip, actually. I gotta check that out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these are guys like sounds, you know, right?
Yeah.
Like they're using the tape recorder as an instrument more than instruments.
Right.
Yeah, it's really interesting kind of stuff. Makes Watt feel like of, you know, whatever, ancient Chuck Berry or something. You know what I mean? It's funny. You think you're ahead in some kind of little movement, and then these other cats make you, whoa. That happened when I saw Sonic Youth, you know? Or Perubu. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Like you say, put you in another gear and stuff. Nothing more inspiring a musician can do for another one than to get him going or her going.
Yeah, right, it's a wave, you know.
Yeah.
It keeps coming, and sometimes they're really great waves.
Right, and what you were talking about before, trying to institute, put that in some kind of like regimented thing. Yeah.
It's a bummer. Kind
of, yeah, it's phony. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
John Coltrane said musicians were after some kind of truth, and they could tell when it's phony.
Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Have you always started the podcast with John Coltrane?
Yeah, all 20 years.
Yeah, okay. That's what I've been checking it out a bit and noticing that.
There's just something about him, his idea yeah. about music being that straightforward, just after truth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And all that stuff about styles and all that, it don't mean anything if you're on that mission for the truth. And he helped me with that. He always helps me. We're at the end of the first hour, Jamie. August 28, 2021 edition. Watt from Peter's show. Special guest, Jamie Branch. Hold tight for hour two. August 28, 2021. It's the second hour of Watt from Peter's show.
Well, we made it. Just about. Lester St. Louis on the cello. Jason and Jimmy and on the bass. Dr. Chad Taylor on the drums and my name is Jamie Branch, and this is Fly or Die. This one goes out to all those assholes out there, and all those clowns. You know who you are. Come on, Les. Speak German and French and English and probably some other shit. Italian. So I think you can get this one. Ready? Ha. It's a love song for assholes and clowns. It's a love song for assholes and
for assholes.
favor. You've ever met an asshole before? Or you've ever met a clown or two? Or even if you are an asshole or a bit of a clown, join me on this next one. You ready? Love song for assholes and clowns.
Love song.
Swear it'll make you feel better, Switzerland. Come on. Let's go. There's a lot of assholes out there, so take care of each other. Love each other. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off second hour. Jimmy Branch, Fly or Die. Love Song Live. Fly or Die. Is that the name of a work or a proj name?
Yeah, it's the name of the band. It's the name of the record and, like, kind of all the records so far.
Okay,
that
okay.
is the name of one of the songs on the first record.
Sure, okay. So it's a kind of big umbrella. You know, and it's a great thing, right? Sink or swim, fly or die. I love it. Ben Salter after that from Tasmania, Won't Let You In. Rosensteel, Beneficiaries, Justice Yeldon. That's Lucas Abella, nearby Sydney. And then Jimmy Branch, Fly or Die. Theme Nothing. Some more live stuff. And where was this gig?
Oh, it was in Zurich. In right? Switzerland. Mm-hmm.
And what was the pad?
It's called Moods.
Moods. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I played there a bunch, too, and I'm trying to think of the venue. So, going into free jazz. Well, composition. It's in the moment, right?
Yeah.
So, what's like, obviously, well, if there's more than one, it's one not a one-lady performance, so you got an ensemble. You're trying to make a conversation, right?
I mean, yeah, I think it's about listening, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Because I've got a buddy, Nels Klein, he plays guitar, and he does a lot of improv.
Yeah.
He's got all these pedals. I said, what's your favorite pedal? He goes, the volume pedal. I said, why? He says, because you got to listen sometimes.
Yep.
I thought about that, and it made so much sense. Otherwise, it's like everybody throwing horseshoes at each other. So, you know, just hoping for a ringer. So, but if you're listening to each other, you can actually, yeah, put together. So I've asked other people this. Is the enemy of improviser repetition?
Say that again?
The enemy of, like, free improvisation. Repetition. Because I say this as a member of the rhythm section.
Sure. I don't necessarily think so. I don't think repetition is the enemy. I think... what's the enemy? I don't think repetition is the enemy because rhythm is such an integral part of it. For me, at least, a part of the music I'm making. You know, there's a lot of groove in there.
So to repeat little motifs is okay, right?
I think all of it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know how humans are, though. They'll get into a shtick, right? And then it evolves its own rules. Like, I remember Sam Bennett was telling me the New York Lower East Side thing with John Zorn, right? 80s. No blue notes. Why no blue notes? You know why? It's going to sound too much like Muddy Waters. You know what I mean?
I mean, Muddy Waters doesn't sound bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Muddy Waters at all. But no, you know what I'm saying? They want us to go for this certain kind of thing. So all the invention stops. We're all being avant-garde, right? Which is kind of a military word, right? The advanced troops.
Right.
But it becomes the same old way. What's new about that? Or free. like when you use part of this word improvisation, you say free improvisation, right? Free jazz. As opposed to not free jazz, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get too hung up on the terms, though, to be honest. Okay. Like, I try not to, because it's the music. It's like what we were saying before. It's music, you know?
Yeah.
It's the music.
Sure. It's me, you know, kind of involved with music and thinking out loud, Jamie. It ain't no fucking, it's a Watt for Pedro Show, so there's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. Look, we lost brother Michael Evans, and I found this, you playing with Thomas Helton. At the Part and Response at the Downtown Music
Gallery.
Gallery, right. 2017.
Celebrating their 30 years this year.
Wow, that's great. And this was from 4 years ago. So in honor of Michael, let's listen. Ha ha ha!
downtown music gallery. It's a big deal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jack's up next. Stick around.
Great job.
Yo, dude. Hey.
Watch for Pedro Show. That took a music start off with Part and Response, live at the Downtown Music Gallery, June 4th, 2017. Thomas Felton, stand-up bass Jimmy Branch on trumpet, and Michael Evans on the drums. Big love to you, Michael Evans.
Big love to you, Michael Evans.
Absolutely.
Dr. Evans.
Right. And then Chicha Libre after that. Sonido Amazonico, Artificial Horizon, Riverboat Cabin. This is a fun song. It almost sounds traditional.
It's a punk rock song, right?
Okay. it is traditional. I love it. I love it, man. It's hard charging right out the gate. Louis Fang after that with chanting of Tiama, this pipa, a lute from China. She's really good at it. And then finally, Blanche Reardon Davis. With a song called Four. What's that about, Jamie?
That is, I would definitely say it's free improvisation, despite what I was saying before. That was me, Mark Reardon, on drums, and Kevin Davis on cello playing. It was a house in Florida. A house in D.C. called, 7-Eleven Florida or 9-11 Florida. This guy, Scott Barasha, used to do house shows there.
Oh, yeah, because they got streets, estate names in D.C.
Yeah, yep. And,
they're at the weird angle. They're at 33-degree angles, man. You get on one of those, you can get lost easy. Because the Freemasons, they had a design from aerial view, even though they didn't have airplanes yet.
Yeah, they love those triangles.
Yeah, you think. So this was just a get-together?
We did a tour. We did a tour as a trio.
It's just the same cello man that's on your record?
It's a different cello man.
Okay. Cello is incredible. It's bass clef, treble clef. Oh my God, what a range!
It's all the things.
Yeah,
it's rhythm section. It's soloist. It's all the things.
Right, and then being in fifths, between the strings, the jumps are more drama. It's like a violin, but you can get way down there like bass. Yeah. The only thing that bums me about it is the way you got to play it between your legs like that. But that's all right.
Yeah, I can't really stand to play the cello. Although, I got a buddy named Rashad Eggleston. He's a prodigy cellist.
Yeah.
The classical coming up. And he said nuts to all that. And he lives out in the woods. And he makes this elf goblin music. And he strums the cello. He wears it with a... what's it called? The neck strap, and he's holding it like a guitar. He's doing all this. So he can jump around with the cello.
Okay. Reinvent it, man. That's what all this stuff's about.
What's all about?
Making it your own and things. I mean, what trumpet player did you look up to?
First, Miles Davis.
Yeah, of course.
Don Cherry.
Diz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I think Miles really looked up to Diz. He knew he didn't have those chops, so he said, I'm going to have the best guys in my band.
I mean, that's how Miles got to New York. He was searching for Dizzy and Charlie.
Right. Juilliard.
He also went to Juilliard.
Once in I read the Quincy Troupe book. It's a mind blow.
It's such a good book.
14 different ways to say motherfucker, and then, motherfucker said, I said motherfucker too many motherfucking times. Yeah. Or when John Coltrane asked him about, I can't stop playing, we'll take the motherfucking mouthpiece out the motherfucking mouth. And then, I gave him the soprano, right? Miles too much. And Diz, I think D.C. at the Smithsonian, they got one of his horns. Bent up like that, yeah. And, yeah, and then we were talking about Cynthia, and Sly's band and stuff like that.
Yep.
But yeah, and then thank God for the ska band movement in the
90s. Well, yeah. Well, the thing that was great for me is that I got to actually play punk rock shows.
No, I know. Like, look, I've had a lot of cats tell me that bone players, trumpet players, sax guys. Yeah, they loved it.
You get to get in on the fun, and that was like really lit my. You know, that's when I was like, oh, I want to do this forever.
Yeah. We're at the end of the second hour, August 28, 2021. Edition of Pedro's special guest, Jamie Banch. Hold tight for our feet. August 28, 2021, it's third hour to Watch for Pedro's.
About a year ago. She was real fucked up at home. And it's still real fucked up. In fact, it may be much, much worse. But don't get it twisted, Switzerland. It's a song about America. But it's about a whole lot of places. Cause it's not just America where shit's fucked up. And it's not always time to be neutral, you know what I mean?
Thank you.
It's a prayer for America. Yeah, for the good, the bad, and the worst of you. Oh, it's a prayer for America. This is a warning, honey.
carne mais barata do mercado foi a carne negra. A carne mais barata do mercado foi a carne negra. A carne mais barata do mercado foi a carne negra. Que fez e faz história segurando esse país no braço, meu irmão. O cabra aqui não se sente revoltado porque o revólver já está engatilhado. Se o vingador é lento, mas muito bem intencionado. E esse país vai deixando todo mundo preto e o cabelo esticado, mas mesmo assim ainda guardo o direito de algum antepassado da cor brigar sutilmente por respeito, brigar bravamente por respeito, brigar por justiça e por respeito de algum antepassado da cor.
Pedro Show, start off the third hour. Live version of Prayer for America, parts 1 and 2. Jamie Branch, Fly or Die. Then probably one of the worst band names I've ever heard, Babes New York City.
You played them a couple days ago.
I know, because it just cracks me up. The music is kind of funny, but the name...
It's like Babes in Toyland or Babes.
Yeah, but Babes.
Dolls and Babes in Toyland all mixed up.
Right. Maybe that's the point. It's supposed to be a big joke, and I don't get it. Okay, I don't blame the hippies. That's their tune. And then, a carne, it's a catastrophe. Elza Sodas Janie Branch. Hippies to that, Janie. What's that?
Elza Soares is like a huge hero of mine. She's in Brazil, in Rio. And she's been making music since, I think, the 60s.
Okay.
And I was like really like kind of blessed by the pandemic in that we had, there was this like online edition of a festival where they were pairing up people from different parts of the world to do it.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of hip idea. And so Elza sent me some a cappella tracks that I was able to kind of cut up and manipulate. And that's what I did with it.
Whoa.
So I kind of made the music around her a cappella vocals.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because that's something that also, by the way, people, a bitch in a website Jamie's got, right? JamieBranch.com, right?
True.
Right.
That's
JamieBranch.com.
Yep, Jamie.
What it
Jamie's
says
got
there,
two eyes.
But what it says there, Jamie, besides composer, trumpet player, singer, it also says recording engineer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. Where'd you get hip to that stuff?
When I went to Chicago back in like 2005, I started recording live gigs. Again, Jason Najimian, he was presenting shows at a place called Heaven Gallery.
Yeah.
And I started recording all the shows there. And then it kind of grew from there. I mean, it's been almost...
What kind of machine were you using?
At that point, I was using a laptop, and I was using like an interface and just a pair of stereo mics generally. And then, you know.
So it was just stereo. It was just two-track stuff.
It was two tracks at first, and then I would get, you know, I could do up to four on my little machine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put in some close mics occasionally. Okay. And then, you know, I've worked at some studios. I was a hip-hop engine. I was working at a hip-hop studio in Baltimore for some time. And I actually just recently have gotten back into a studio share after many years of kind of not being in that situation.
Do you have a little setup at your pad?
I do, yep. Mm-hmm.
Like when Elsa sent you those a cappella things, you did that right in your pad, right?
Yep.
Yeah. The technology, huh? Pretty incredible. We used to have to pay other people, and now we can invest in our own trips.
That's right. Now we can do it ourselves.
You sent me these three, which is good, right? It's like in the old days, we all had to go to the one guy who knew how to write so he could write down our stories. Now, you know, you learn 26 letters and some words. You sent me music to this project called Antiloper.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to play all three of them, okay? Thank you. Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Antiloper with Oryx and Patronized Humoplasms. I think I'm awake. Some more Antiloper, Radar Radio, come on, what? Then Al Margolis with If Bawana, New York, Jungle Horn. And finally, Antiloper, Soledad Saboteur. So enlighten us to Antelope.
Antelope is my duo with the great drummer Jason Nazary. And it was, we got together to open for Jeff Parker, actually.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
It's the way it goes, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm learning.
But, we were going to put together a trio, but for whatever reason, the third person didn't make the rehearsal, and me and Jason brought, it was at my house, so I had all my electronics, and he brought some. At the end of the rehearsal, we realized that we didn't need a third person, that we, in fact, had everything we needed already. In fact, there's right. a lot of sounds.
Sure.
And so, yeah, Antelope was born. I think that was in 2016 or 17.
And it's an ongoing concern, right? Probably a little pause for the situation, but...
A little bit of a pause. We head to London on Tuesday, though.
So oh, wow.
We're getting back at it, you know?
Got a gig.
Got a gig.
Okay, great. Let me ask you about composing.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about Charlie Mingus. He never composed on the bass, right? Have you ever read Beneath the Underdog? His first song, right, Mingus Fingers, and all the rest, all on piano. What do you compose on, Jamie?
I started composing on piano. And then more recently I've done things where I record myself in the voice memo. And that's either with just singing something I'm hearing or playing the trumpet. It's still probably easiest for me to sit at the piano when I want to have specific pitches, or the trumpet, because the trumpet, the thing is like on the piano, you can hit the key, you can see what it is, you can write it down.
Right.
The trumpet, you need at least one hand to make the note. and then when you write it down, the note on the trumpet, I play B-flat trumpet. So sure. A B on the trumpet is an A on the staff paper, or at least the way I usually write. I usually write in concert pitch.
Okay.
So that's one way. That's another way. A voice memo is a third way. And then I'm able to write, I do a lot of, graphic type stuff, and I'm able to, write relative pitches pretty easily. So if I have a starting point and I have a melody in my head, I can pretty much write it out, you know, and figure out rhythms and stuff like that.
Right. Rhythms, I could understand. But another difference I see is you got 10 fingers, you can get 10 notes. Unless you're overblowing pretty hard on that trumpet, it's hard to get 10 notes out of it.
Okay.
So it's more of a monophonic.
It's a monophonic, and even if you do have 10 notes, they can't really move independently.
Right. It's a weird kind of surf guitar.
Yep.
It's really interesting, though, the trumpet. I really think there's a lot to be done with it and stuff. Like all the instruments, right? Especially now. Like what you're doing is you're putting in with electronics and stuff, so it's getting redefined, taking it out of its old traditional roles, while acknowledging the traditions. Really interesting what you're doing with the trumpet like that. So that's why I kind of asked. What about when you write your pieces? Do you write the bass lines?
For Fly or Die, I sometimes write the bass lines, and sometimes Jason will figure out the bass line.
Can I ask you this? Have you ever composed on a bass?
No. I'm not that good with the guitars.
Okay.
Although, that was my dream when I was 12. I was going to be a Purple Band, you know?
And like, at your pad, you got no guitar, no bass?
I do. I have a guitar.
Oh, you
do? I mean, I still want to play the guitar.
Well, what about left hand, you know, like that big, fat, funky bass? Keyboard bass stuff. What was her name?
Big time. And I do synth bass all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like a funky worm, right? It was called Funky Worm. Yeah, because it's so legato, so thick, you know.
I mean, you can make it be that you can make it be whatever you want too, you know. Yeah,
but thick
legato and that square wave bass, you know, it's all. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the synthesizer.
Okay, the first thing you got coming up is a gig, but what are your next plans after that? You got some recording stuff?
Yeah, I got some new bands that I want to record, and I got some more traveling coming up, so the fall is looking pretty busy.
Which is what are these new bands?
I got a trio called C'est Toi with Luke Stewart on bass and Chasere Holmes. They're both in a band called Irreversible Entanglement.
Okay.
I don't know if you've come across that band yet, but man, so great with the vocalist Moore Mother.
I'll check them out.
So we got our like first kind of bigger gig coming up, and I really want to record because that's a band that came together over quarantine, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Right,
if it rains lemons, make lemonade.
That's right.
No, you know what I mean. Okay. What, sit on your hands and feel sorry for yourself? I mean, no.
That's I mean, great. You could do a little bit of that, but you know, too much of that.
too much is too much.
Please, say
tequila. Jamie.
And then too much of that leads to a bad next day.
Yeah, absolutely. A big honor to have you on the show. When you get this new trio going, will you guys come back on and play music and talk about it with me?
The honor is all mine, for real. You've been a huge inspiration, so thank you.
Oh, right back. People, it's been August 28, 2021. This is Wap Pedro, so keep your powder dry.